Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. USA Today picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten this year, earning 11 first-place votes ahead of Oregon and Indiana. Buckeyes wideout Jeremiah Smith was named preseason Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year and earned preseason All-Big Ten honors alongside quarterback Julian Sand, running back Bo Jackson, and offensive lineman Austin Sarrivelt. Big Ten Media Days start tomorrow in Chicago, while Ohio State will speak Wednesday. More CFB, North Carolina General Manager Michael Lombardi was placed on paid administrative leave. A source told ESPN's Pete Thamel it stems from an HR complaint filed by a former UNC employee. Baseball battle for the Ohio Cup continues tonight at 7:10 when the Reds host the Guardians. Cleveland leads the series 2-1. Coverage of the Fan 2 starts at 6:40. This update sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream is back at UDF. Right now, get two large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Welcome back aboard. And the gang is together, minus the cannon, but we got the Iceman back. Riding shotgun, good to see you, brother.
What up?
The traveling Wilburys, you were all over the place.
You know, I had a lot going on. A week off, it's a long time. I always say this, when I get to about Wednesday night, I'm kind of like, okay, I can go back now. I know you don't really believe me, but I get the itch.
Well, I don't believe you because there's no evidence of you coming back.
I did think about coming back on Friday. When you guys got the LeBron news, you and I were texting a little bit, and I was thinking, man, should I go in? Should I call in? No, but the week off was good. It was relaxing. I got a lot done. I really did get a lot done during my week off. You know, you hear certain things, you know, when you're early 20s, late 20s about getting older, things that you may enjoy as you get older. And one of the things that I enjoyed last week was building stuff. Hey, I got a new couch. New TV stand, new coffee table. And usually I hate building things. Like that's my, hey, I want it built when it gets here, have somebody else come in and get it done. That brought me so much joy when I was done with those things. I was like, yeah, I'm in my unk bag. They were right. So they were right about hangovers last a lot longer when you get older. And you get enjoyment about little things. Like, oh, you get a new pair of socks, you know, you get a new golf club, whatever it is. Like, yes, that is true. Uh-huh. So that was part of my week. I saw The Odyssey twice.
Come on.
I saw it twice.
There are people that are regretting seeing it once.
I went and saw it twice. It was one of those movies, right, where I saw it the first time and I was like, okay, this was good. I got to be honest. I did not leave the theater the first time thinking this was one of the best things I've ever seen. But it also was, okay, this was a very good movie that I feel like I probably missed a lot. So I wanted to run it back, and that's why I went to see it twice. So that was really, really good.
I liked it. It was so nice. I saw it twice.
So that happened.
Thing like 3 hours?
Yeah, it was a grind, man.
It was good.
It was a grind, but it was good. So you're in my camp that the movie was good. I'm not in the, it was an all-timer, AR, and I know there's some of those takes out there. I'm not there yet.
That was the cinematography, Maddie. That was the musical score.
Look, I thought Anne Hathaway was incredible.
Was it not the loudest movie? That was my only complaint. Loudest movie I've ever seen.
It reminded me of when I went to see The Dark Knight in theater for the first time. That movie was really loud, which is another Christopher Nolan movie. Yep. So that's his thing.
Falls in line. Hey, I just put together a nightstand. Can you turn it down? I'm getting older. It's too loud.
Oh, man. So that happened. We did have tryouts for Ripple Baseball last week. So shout out to the guys that were on the team last year that are coming back. Shout out to the parents as well. They were great. And also shout out to some of the new guys that are going to be on the squad. And so
what about the guys you had to cut?
There were some guys that walked away and just decided to move on. And maybe baseball really isn't, their thing. So we had a few openings.
Did you give them a hint?
Well, I didn't. It was their decision. Okay. You guys do what you want to do. We'd be glad to have you back. But if this isn't your thing, we respect that as well. But very excited about the guys we have going on. So that was kind of my week last week, man. That was a lot going on.
No one's going to lie. The LeBron stuff dropping Friday was
more than a mild surprise. It was.
Friday news dump for you, huh? That happened.
11:40.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
In the morning.
My phone started popping off right around there, and I was like, oh, Philly, huh? And you and I were talking about that, and I was in the camp of what would excite me was him going to Cleveland or Philadelphia. The basketball reasons, it makes a lot of sense for me to go to Philly. The Cleveland thing would have been, hey, this is just picking with my heart thing over anything else to me, because I just didn't think the James Harden part of it, AR, was tough for me to connect the dots of him wanting to sign up for that. I think all the other parties involved, you could mm-hmm. understand why he would want to come back, but I think the James Harden thing was a little too much for him to want to lock in with that. But Philly, on paper, it looks good, but that's all it is on paper. But they got a squad, man. They really do.
Oh, I mean, right now, just points per game.
It's crazy.
They fall out of bed and score 110.
Unbelievable.
Like, if they stay. And the health thing is the big thing.
No doubt.
I mean, that's going to be massive. But we'll talk about that later. We don't have to dive into that. And then there's a rumor that he may have had a slight demand for Cleveland. So Friday, it was all about that. I mean, that was it. Mm-hmm. It was what everybody was talking about, and rightfully so, that he got to pick another location. What I don't understand, though, is why, like, Cleveland seems to be an afterthought right now to a lot of people as far as who missed out. It's Miami missed out, Golden State missed out. I don't hear a lot of Cleveland. I don't hear it. And I'm wondering if it's because been there, done that, and he was going to pick, although Miami certainly would have been a regurge on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why. Just everything I've watched and listened to this weekend, I'm not getting the, wow, he really dissed Cleveland, like his hometown. They all lined up. Everything lined up. They needed a wing. He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's kind of given that a little bit of a pass when I thought Cleveland was the favorite for most of the time.
I thought, you know, the Giannis situation was always going to be odd for me as far as those two guys on the floor trying to figure it out. I could understand why Brian would look at that situation and be like, Giannis, top 5-7 player in the world. Let's go rock out with that guy, with Bam, and then the rest of the crew. We could do some damage. The Cleveland thing, when I started to think about it a little bit more basketball-wise, that to me became a little bit of a question, just because not only what I mentioned with Harden, but also the trust in a guy like Jared Allen and what he's seen him kind of go through as a postseason performer and the question marks he may have there. If he would have gone to Cleveland, they would have been a really good team, in my opinion. I just don't think he trusted a couple of the guys there. And then he looked at Philly and said, Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, these guys that I kind of know are going to be available. Like, the Embiid thing is no doubt. Question his availability all day and tomorrow. But the other guys, I just felt like more guys that are kind of in their prime that can carry more of the workload before they get to the postseason. That could have been the appeal more so than what Cleveland had going on.
Yeah, listen, I praised him last week for it being a basketball decision. That's fine. That's what you kind of want it to be at that age. But everyone was leaving a little room for the romance of going back to Cleveland and bookending it where it all started. And he wasn't going to go there to rescue a team. He wasn't going there as a ceremonial guy on a team that could do nothing. It just keeps coming back to that they were pretty damn close. And the fact that he decided that that wasn't the place. And then the other thing that went through my mind was this. Get your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
You delivered the lone championship in this state, especially to the Cavs.
Yeah.
But neither NFL team's won a Super Bowl, and he's delivered the ultimate prize to the state. And I'm wondering, in his mind, is that one of those, if I pick Cleveland, does it dilute a little bit of what I brought before, where we won the title in such dramatic fashion? And that would there be equal or different pressure on coming back to Cleveland? I didn't think so, because I think it was more ceremonial on a good team. I don't think anyone would have crushed LeBron if they didn't win another one in Cleveland. You know, I think we just wanted to see them make a race and try to do it again at this advanced age of 41, 42. But I think maybe in his mind, he's like, that's such a folklorish thing. That's the drama. We got one. If I go back there, everyone will expect me to win another one, or at least be close.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then it kind of falls on its face a little bit that I went back for the romance of Cleveland and it ended in a dud. Like, I wonder if he was just like, I don't need that pressure. I'll take the pressure of having the roster that I want, but that he didn't want to go back to Cleveland to try to deliver again.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of it. I also think excitement of delivering what you just described to another city like Philadelphia is something that can motivate him every day. That excitement to chase that. He's what, 41, 42 years old. The Cleveland thing, while yes, that always feels good, I think a new spark for him has been found with this Philadelphia situation with, yes, they had the situation with the Eagles that was great for them and that run that they've been on, but to deliver a championship to the 76er fan base is huge, right? And then you're talking about, I'm the guy that at every stop that I go to in a new city, I'm bringing you a championship. One of the other rumors that popped up when it came to the Cleveland thing and maybe why he didn't pick the Cavs again, and I don't know if this is true, I'm sure you guys talked about it, was the Kyrie angle of this as well.
I brought up Kyrie last week.
That he maybe behind the scenes was kind of working things to say, hey, if you guys want me to come to Cleveland, can we flip James Harden for Kyrie? That obviously is not going to happen. And so I think there were some things that he didn't love about the roster in Cleveland. I don't think this was the fans or anything like that. I think this was a strictly basketball decision, which I get when you look at where Philly is.
We'll get to more of that in the third hour. We've got Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network coming up bottom of the hour to preview the media days and get his power rankings and how many Big Ten teams he thinks might crash the playoff party. We'll do Party Like a Rothstar. We've got The Floor Is Yours at 1 o'clock. Your calls, of course. Zeke will take those. We'll have Adam King sauntering in at 1:30, 10 TV Sports, and Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN at 2:30. We'll go to the Buckeyes next, and a legendary Buckeye hypes a backup. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice in the
by NHTSA.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Probably cloudy, warm, and humid.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole.
Ooh.
This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, the legendary Fighting Illini running back and a lot more, our friend from the Big Ten Network. And football is in the air, or pretty close to it. Howard Griffith is with us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. My man, how you feeling?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
Outstanding. Getting ready. Big Ten meeting. So we get the talk first, and then we'll get them on the field. So, and this just knee-jerk reaction. How many Big Ten teams do you think make the playoff this year?
Good question. Let's go three.
So I was at three last week, but it's the three usual suspects, right? It's, you know, and that's the problem. I'm wondering if anybody, because there are teams, Howard, in this conference that have schedules that would make you think like they could make a run. And, but, so you believe in Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana, and then who's closest after that?
You know, I think there are a couple teams that are there that could be in the conversation. You know, I like what Washington is doing. I like what, if you have an established quarterback, and, you know, I know they have to deal with some other things, he off the field, whether or not, you know, everyone's buying back in, particularly the quarterback, and by all accounts, it seems like he is. But this is a team that can be there. If you've got a dynamic quarterback, you know, it can really change the fortunes of what you have an opportunity to do. So I think there are a lot of teams that could be in that mix, but well, we're going to have to see it. And as you mentioned, you talk about the schedule. Sometimes the schedule does lay out right, but they still have to be able to go out and execute against that schedule. And that doesn't always work out, even if a team has a favorable schedule.
Howard, let's go back to the three teams you believe in right now on paper that could represent the Big Ten in the playoff. When you look at Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State, of the three, looking at the moves that they've made this offseason, whether it's coaches, players, or the combination of both, which roster do you believe is in the best shape right now going into 26 between Oregon, Indiana, and the Buckeyes?
Well, I think if you talk about rosters of the three, I think Indiana would be third. Most people would tell you they were third. I think you could even get Indiana people to tell you that they were third. I think when you look at Ohio State and you look at Oregon, they are both very deep at all the positions. And so it's kind of, I think you're outside of the top 22 or the top 25 players to really get an idea. But I think they're both have done what I would consider an unbelievable job of recruiting. and also going into the portal and getting the people that they need. I look at the portal as being kind of like NFL free agency. You got to go in and find the guys that you need that can help you execute your game plan right away. I think they're very close. They're both done an unbelievable job recruiting.
It feels like this is the pressure on Oregon to finally break through is always there. But with Dante Moore turning down the NFL and coming back to Eugene, it feels like that has really put it in a different atmosphere for Dan Lanning. Like, he's got to feel it, right, with the fact that the Big Ten has three, and now he feels like he's got to get one. They're very talented. I agree with you. It's just there's something about trusting them all the way that I think we're always in wait-and-see mode.
Yeah, and the reality is they have to get over the hump. This is an excellent opportunity for them to be able to do that when you look at the roster, when you look at, you know, the quarterback, and you look at what they've been able to do and put together. But it, as I said earlier, you still have to be able to execute against that game plan. It's not easy. And you're assuming, we all assume that, okay, if they play at their maximum, at their very best, they're going to be able to get over the hump, but they have to be able to do it. And they haven't done it to this point. And that's not all bad. I mean, there's only going to be one team that's going to be happy at the end of the year. Everyone else is going to be looking, thinking about what could have been. And I think Oregon's in a spot that they've got a lot of pressure on them, but I think the pressure that they have on them is no different than what's internal for them as well, what they want to be able to go out and do.
So, Howard, you guys are getting ready to rock and roll over there in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days kicking off tomorrow. And it looks like, according to the schedule, that USC and Lincoln Riley and that crew are going to speak tomorrow afternoon or whenever their time slot is. Howard, when you look at USC right now, because the quarterback coming back, I'm in on him. I think he looks the part. He's a dude. But USC, how close are they to some of the contenders? Maybe not the top three that you mentioned in the conference, but when you look at some of the other programs around college football that you would deem as college football worthy this year, is USC there yet in your mind?
Well, I think they have to continue to prove it. I think one of the things, so one of the misnomers has been, particularly last year toward the end, you know, this was a team that was really all about finesse. And that's kind of the way people look at SC. They're a finesse team. They can't get physical, but they have. They've proven that they can get physical. And you talk about a team that's done an unbelievable job recruiting. We talked about, obviously, Ohio State and Oregon have done it. But this is a team, SC, who people are really high about, this freshman class that they have coming in. And now, can those freshmen really put them in a position where they're able to contribute early? A lot of them are on the offensive line, some young guys that have come up, but they've got dynamic skill players that came into this class as well. So Lincoln Riley's challenge will be, how quickly can he get those elite players ready to go? And you only need to look at a place like Ohio State, who's done a really good job since we've been covering them for 20 years going on, who's found a way to get their young players valuable reps the entire year. And then once you get into postseason, they're able to contribute and everyone believes in them. I think that's the challenge that Lincoln Riley's got to get those guys up to speed so they can contribute early.
Howard, what do you expect out of Michigan this year? It feels like it's such a tightrope they're walking. They got a really good coach. It's his first season, yet there's so much distraction around it in the athletic program. But I don't even know what the expectations are. They'll probably have a top 25 roster. But they've got some heavyweight matchups on their schedule with Oklahoma and Oregon and Ohio State. And Bryce Underwood with the pressure, but he's got a pretty good supporting cast. Like, what are your expectations of them this year?
Well, I think one of the keys is it has to be Bryce Underwood. And it really, he's got to be able and show the development from the offseason and going into the season from last year. A lot of pressure was on him to be that stud quarterback. And I think he has all the talent in the world to be an elite quarterback. Now he has to go out and prove it. And hopefully now that he has a dedicated quarterback coach on the roster, on the coaching staff, that's going to help him continue to get better, because I think that will take a lot of pressure off of this team. But what they have to be able to do is be physical. I think on the defensive side, they've got to be able to stop people and being able to know that they can get that done, and they've got to be able to run the football. I think they'll be a tough team. There's no question about that in my mind, just the mentality of that coaching staff that they've put together. But they've got to be able to run the football and be tough. So that's really what I expect out of them, to really, you know, create that identity that, you know, Michigan has been known for in the past. It's really about slowing the game down a little bit and being able to hit people and be physical at the point of attack.
Who is a player for you, Howard, that's getting ready to become a household name, or maybe more of a household name in the Big Ten this season?
Wow, that's a great question. And to me, I'll go back. Let's see. That is a great question, because there's just so many good players that are out there. But I think really when you talk about a guy that has a chance to step up onto the scene to make things happen, I know the expectations in Champaign are really high, and with Hauser and what he's been able to do for the last 2 years, he's put up some huge numbers. And, you know, for Illinois, they're going to need the quarterback position to be able to make plays for him, since they've lost so much on the defensive side of the ball. And he has actually been one of those guys that, you know, throughout, you know, spring ball had a really good spring. So it'll be interesting to see what they'll be able to do, because that'll be a big part of whether Illinois will be the kind of success that they have, that they've been, can build on the last 3 years. What happens with those guys? So Hauser's a guy that you probably should keep an eye on, although, you know, he's known to put up huge numbers the last couple of years. Being able to get it done now back in the Big Ten will be an interesting situation to watch for Illinois.
If they can split the big boys, if they can somehow pick off, they come here and then they get Oregon at home. If they could get one of those, probably the one at home would be the more realistic if they could get one. Then their schedule does line up for the fact that they could be a pretty decent team this year. They have a schedule that provides that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Now, you know, I don't know that, you know, they have everything they need from the defensive line standpoint, but they're going to be switching schemes. And that's going to help them. So people wouldn't have seen the scheme, although people have practiced and played against it before, notably with Nebraska was the last team that really was able to run that scheme that they're running this year. So we'll see how that goes. But you have to have a strong defensive front to be able to execute that scheme. But the element of surprise, not knowing who's going to be blitzing, will hopefully for them give them an advantage and maybe be able to help their situation as far as some of the talent that they don't have at this particular point on the defensive line.
Well, enjoy your coverage this week, my man. Thanks for hopping on with us on short notice. Have a great one.
Yeah, be a lot of fun. You guys enjoy the week, and let's get ready for some football.
You got it. Howard Griffith joining us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, when we come back, we'll recap the weekend. Party like a Rothstar, Rothman and Ice on the
Foundation.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently.
For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
I was thinking of starting. I don't know if this is something you would praise or something you would crush a little bit.
Oh, okay. Where are you going with this? That's interesting. What do you got over there?
Well, we started with NIL, and it just kind of hit me. And I don't even know if it's true or not. So this kid that plays for LSU, an offensive tackle, Jordan Seaton.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know that? You know where I'm going with this?
I believe I know where you're going with this, and I don't know if it was real or not what I saw. So you got to help me out a little bit.
So he was online, and he was touting that he took his $50,000 in NIL and just bought his girl like a bunch of purses.
Wait, so his entire pool of NIL money, you're saying he makes $50,000 a year just in NIL? Let's call it that.
No, he makes way more than that.
Okay, so this is part of the pie.
He just took $50,000.
And so what we saw was him saying, hey, look, I'm taking care of my lady. $50,000
on some bags. LSU tackle Jordan Seaton has gone viral, flexing $50,000 worth of, I don't know this brand of bags.
Birkins?
No.
Oh.
That he bought for his new girlfriend.
Okay.
Many fans are worried that he's spending all of his NIL money. Well, what are you worried about?
He did go on to clear some things up on his Instagram story. I don't think this helps. He says, since people are creating their own narratives, let me clear this up. The bags in that video were mine. We made a fun video to a trending sound, nothing more. Nobody spent $50,000 on anybody.
I don't know if that makes it much better because you're still letting us know you spent $50,000 on bags.
It definitely doesn't help.
Which, if he did, he did. I'm not going to tell anybody how to spend their money. It'd be very easy for me to say, hey, give it to charity. Like, he's a college kid.
It's one of those things where it's like, you don't want a rich person to flaunt how rich they are in front of your face type thing. Like, we know you guys are making a bunch of money as players. I don't know if you need to be flaunting that you bought a whole bunch of bags. I don't personally care. Me, personally. But I could see how people would reach to how that's a bad look for him. That's all. But I don't really
care. What do they think the money's for?
Yeah, that's
they
a great question.
They still think it's to help them eat? Like, where
they're shutting down
now?
Restaurants with the money that they're getting. Honestly, okay, they could do that if they wanted to for a night.
The days of selling the narrative that college athletes need to get paid because they're starving is old and it's gone. It probably never truly existed, but that's not where we are.
I'm with you. Yeah, I know.
Hey, this is how I feed my family. Selling purses. It'd be great. Maybe he's got a little home business. Maybe he's flipping bags.
Hey, you know?
I'm gonna give it to Jordan Seaton, even though now he's gonna pour water on his own narrative that he's 50,000. I don't know how many bags she needs, but they all look very similar in different colors. I'll take 14 of these sweaters, all green.
From what I've heard, AR, those Birkin bags, and I know that wasn't a Birkin, those can get up to about 10, 20 grand a pop. You know, Zeke, you want to take care of your lady, you better start saving up. Purchasing a Birkin bag.
So let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
He's claiming that he just made a fun video and these bags were already his.
Some TikTok trend, I guess.
I think he's claiming that he didn't buy the bags for his girlfriend.
Okay. He did it almost just a video?
He's saying, I bought them for myself.
I'm not buying her anything.
Come on.
That doesn't clear it up.
He's not carrying those around.
Doesn't help anything by you saying
that. No, I didn't spend my NIL money on her. It was on me.
All right, Jordan Seaton. Go block somebody because I don't know if the purses are going to pay the rent.
Oh, man, I like it. First candidate for me. This is a guy that I hope gets traded at the deadline in Major League Baseball. And he can be a part of something special. And this is CJ Abrams for the Washington Nationals.
Can't trade him now.
I'm hoping they trade him. I want to see him in a primetime spot, AR, playing in some playoff baseball with some superstars around him. Regardless of that, this guy is turning into a superstar himself because CJ Abrams right now, if you don't know the name, you need to know the name because this is one of the better up-and-coming young shortstops in the sport. 25 years old from Georgia. And right now, folks, this dude is on one. Yesterday against the Arizona Diamondbacks, two home runs. The game before that on Saturday, he had three. He has a bunch of hits over the last seven games for the Washington Nationals, north of 12. And so he is just right now on an absolute tear. And I think this is an interesting spot for the Nationals to be in because I have to imagine there's going to be a lot of teams trying to acquire his services. He's just a fun watch night in and night out. Got him on one of my fantasy teams, so that's always fun. But this dude, regardless of that, 297, 12th in the league in batting average, 27 home runs, that's 7th in the sport, and he's number one in Major League Baseball right now in RBIs as a shortstop with 82. CJ Abrams for the Washington Nationals partying like a rockstar.
Yeah, he's a triple shy of the cycle, I think, this weekend, too. Like, he was hitting it.
He can go, man.
All right, talking about turning it on. Scottie Scheffler was the only golfer in the top 30 in the world that was in that 3M tournament this weekend. And he was climbing up the leaderboard, and he was in everybody's rearview mirror. And here he comes, and he's going to swallow up the tournament and win it. And there's this 21-year-old named Jackson Koivun, who was born in California and actually moved to Chapel Hill, but he went to Auburn. He turned professional in June, like not long ago. And he swept National Player of the Year awards, SEC Conference Player of the Year, the whole thing. And he had the number one player in the world climbing up the leaderboard on his back. And all he did was execute, execute, execute. And he just held him off.
Yeah.
And he beat Scottie Scheffler
pretty much head-to-head in every round except for the final round. But this is what he did this weekend. 64, 68, 61, 66.
Ooh.
Minus 25. He wins by three over Scottie Scheffler. Kid's 21.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not usually, and he made about $1.5 million for winning. I'm not usually this guy that would say, okay, he's the next big thing, but there is a feeling that he's not going to be a bust. Now, I don't know how many titles he's going to win, but I would be pretty surprised if you don't hear from him again in many ways.
Noted.
He's coming. And he walked through that door yesterday, Jackson Koyman.
Last one for me. Jacob Mizorowski, what are you? Because you're not human. We know that. You're not human. So what are you? Because I would like to know. Because this guy, again, just absolutely goes nuclear against the Colorado Rockies yesterday. In five innings, Jacob Mizorowski allows one hit, zero walks, and 12 strikeouts. Number one in the sport in ERA. 1.58, excuse me. Number one in the sport in strikeouts. .185. Second behind him is Dylan Cease with 167. This guy is an absolute freak show out there for the Milwaukee Brewers, and it's just 100-plus, 100-plus, 100-plus. It seems like every single pitch. If you're into pitching, this is the guy you need to watch. Jacob Mizorowski for the Milwaukee Brewers, partying like a rock star.
He struck out the first seven guys of the game.
It's silly, man. It's like, what do you do as a hitter?
That's a new record. 12 of 13 that he faced.
It's crazy, man.
And Scotty Vegas on Friday thought he could get a piece of him. Foul one off. He didn't say Mizorowski, but he actually did say Major League. Like, so I had to stop
him
in his tracks.
He thinks
that he thought he could get wood, that he could make contact off a major league pitcher. I said,
no chance.
It's not even.
No chance.
I don't even know. We couldn't even set it up any way that you could maybe get it.
I always say this. I honestly think that this is the hardest thing for an average person to do, is to make contact with a baseball.
First of all, from a guy digging in alone.
You
need a cage. He'd need all the body armor. Like, because you'd be stepping in the bucket every time. You wouldn't even.
Scotty Vegas wouldn't even be able to see the ball coming from Mizorowski. That's how hard the dude throws. So
I don't think he'd be on his feet. I think he would fall down multiple times.
So we knocked it down. Then I said, I'm not even sure you get a piece of a really good high school pitcher.
Oh, trust me. Some of the kids that I'm coaching that are 15, 16 years old, our guy J-Pavs, his son Mason, that's a sophomore. Yeah. You're not touching him. You're not touching him.
And by the way, he started at MLB. And I'm like, all right. You took a sharp blow to the head on the way into the studio today. All right. I hit, when you know exactly where it's coming, fastball, maybe low 80s, I could maybe get a piece if I knew exactly where it was.
Yeah, and you're talking about a ball that's not moving either.
That's right.
Yeah, crazy.
All right, we'll come back. Top of the hour, and the floor will be yours. 614-821-9710. Light up Zeke. We'll take your call. The best one gets the Skyline gift card. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Live better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy's wife, Mia Bieniemy, was hospitalized in stable condition today after being allegedly shot by the couple's son at their home in Virginia Sunday night. According to the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, Elijah Zion Bieniemy was arrested and charged with malicious wounding, use of a firearm in commission of a felony, and discharge of a firearm inside of a dwelling. Eric Bieniemy left Chiefs training camp and was not in attendance for today's practice. College sports, Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel will be paid $7.14 million as part of his separation agreement from the school, per the Associated Press. Manuel agreed to step down following investigations into the culture of the school's athletic department. North Carolina GM Michael Lombardi was placed on paid administrative leave after an HR complaint was filed by a former UNC employee, sources told ESPN's Pete Thamel. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time for your calls on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now, 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe,
I've never seen such incompetence,
or some praise,
you're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
Shout out to Whiskey Paul, who's in town. Yeah, had a couple. He likes his Yingling.
Okay.
And so we had a few, and the kid came in. The Elegant Farmer was in town.
Shout out to Whiskey Paul. He's the best, man. Always looking out for us, showing love, listening to the show. Yeah. So we appreciate him. That's cool.
Vikings and Packers hanging together.
Okay, like there it is.
I mean, yeah, you know.
It's going to be interesting division this year, man.
That NFC North. We're both afraid of the Bears.
It's going to be interesting.
We're both.
We got an update because, you know, we were talking in our last segment about Scotty Vegas was in for me on Friday. You guys brought up Jacob Mizorowski for the Brewers, and he said he thinks he could foul one off. And I didn't really
name him as a player.
Okay.
He did say major league pitcher.
Okay.
And you're dreaming. Like, you're honestly dreaming.
Yeah, he's that's a little out there for me.
First of all, think about the timing of how late you would be. Now, could you, one in a thousand, take a cut on a ball that was in the zone and maybe get lucky?
No.
Close your eyes, blind, like maybe.
Not against those guys.
Probably
especially
not.
Especially like Jacob Mizorowski, who's 6'7", 6'8", whatever he is. Like, when he's releasing the ball, that's not 60 feet. That's like 57 feet away from you, too, at a buck 03.
The catcher would be throwing it back to Mizorowski as you're swinging.
I agree with you. And so I brought up our guy, J-Pavs, his son. I'm helping coach, you know, one of the teams that he's a part of. His son Mason is really good as a pitcher. He was a freshman last year going into a sophomore year. I don't think Scotty Vegas could touch J-Pav's son, Mason, who I think will be a dude pitching for years to come. And he's a sophomore in high school now. And so J-Pav's texted us during the break and says, we just talked about that. We're going to the facility, and Scotty's going to try to hit off J-Pav's son. And I don't think this is going to go well for Scotty Vegas.
No, and there should be something on the line. There should be some repercussion, some consequence for
Scotty
if he can't. And if he does, then there should be something.
If Scotty can't make contact on J-Pav's son, he cannot make a bet during the upcoming football season.
He won't be coming then. Won't be going to Ripple Baseball. I think the point of this is, how could you set this up where how many pitches would he get to see? How many would it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
fair. Are you calling balls and strikes?
We'll have to set up maybe like a live AB for him. You know what I mean? Something like that. Yeah. We'll give him a live AB. And then we had our guy. Now we got some calls we'll get to here in a second. So hang with us. Our guy Rhyme Time comes in during the break, Jacob Reimer, and says that he thinks he can score a bucket on Wimby. Reimer, stop. I said, Reimer, you're not even getting a shot off against Wimby. He is sending that to the stands every time. The confidence around here, it's crazy around the fan. Reimer thinks he can get a bucket against Victor Wembanyama.
Okay. I mean, this guy's got an 8-foot wingspan. I don't know what he's thinking.
He's the defensive player of the year.
I guess a step back.
No.
Jump hook.
He's blocking all that.
I think you could probably get a sky hook over him. Not from like where you're backing him down. I'm talking about like from the 3-point line where you threw it over
just
your head.
Just a heave.
Just a heave.
See, yeah. I wouldn't even count that as a shot, really. You know what I mean? That's just whatever.
I don't know. There's only a couple things that an average person could compete with a professional, and it's mostly when a ball isn't moving. And so it would be potentially, could somebody get lucky on a par 3 and hit it closer than Tiger?
Right.
Of course they could. They could. He could, I mean, 100 balls, he's getting 90 of them within 15 feet probably. But at one time that guy catches it right and it rolls closer, that can happen. It probably wouldn't, but it could. And then the other one is if maybe you had a really good high school basketball player and he was shooting free throws against an NBA guy. Could he maybe hit more out of 30 or something? That's possible.
It's possible.
Because there's nothing that's changing. There's no defense. There's no offense. There's nothing.
I think, and this doesn't move me that much, but I do think the average person can record an out against a major league hitter if it's a fly ball. I don't know
how much. Just keep it in the yard.
Yeah. I think we could put somebody in the outfield with a glove and just say, catch this fly ball.
No chance.
Really? You think no chance?
I played outfield in a softball men's league, and I went 0-4 the entire year. I'm a horrible baseball player, and I don't think I'm a non-athletic person, but I would say the regular person, it looks easy when they're catching it. It is not.
Wait, go back to what you just said. Your stat line was what?
I played an entire men's league softball league.
Slow pitch.
So we're talking underhand.
And couldn't catch a fly ball is what you're saying.
I missed every single fly ball.
What is your name, Lupus?
I'm not a baseball player, but it is harder than people assume.
How did you even make the team?
I was kicked off the team after that season. I was a
12-inch softball with a glove that was hit to you in the outfield.
Sent you to free agency, huh?
I was done.
Then you can't start this conversation with, I was an athlete. Like, you can't do that.
But I think the normal average person is going to have a similar experience to me, I would say. But I also stopped playing baseball in, like, fourth grade.
Okay. He may be right, though. Because some of the fly balls that do get hit by some of these guys are in the air for a long time.
You're talking about judging panicking the depth of like
yes.
a fly ball?
I'm just talking about a can of corn where you don't even have to move. He doesn't think an average person could do that.
I don't think they could. I think if they're judging the ball and having to catch it, 0% chance.
Yeah, when you...
I guess if somebody hit one to the moon, you know,
that gets
and you're not used
man.
To playing the outfield, you'd have to shag a few balls to get some timing, but...
That's only one of the things I can think of that maybe we could chalk that up as a dub for the average fan.
We're going to have to extend this into the next segment.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Because I want to we want to give out this gift card. Who do you got on the line, by the way?
We have Vaughn here ready for you.
All right, let's let Vaughn have the floor. Floor is yours, Vaughn. Take it away.
Vaughn, you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. My phone started tweaking at the worst possible time. How are you guys? How have you been?
Outstanding, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys. Man, I went to a Yankees game. It was actually right after the All-Star break, the first game of the Yankees-Dodgers series. So that was amazing. In Yankee Stadium, I was sitting in like the home run kind of seat. And to comment on your question, as soon as they took Cody Bellinger out for another outfielder, he dropped the ball when they hit it to him into outfield. So I don't think any of us are really catching him. Then you got the sun in your eyes. I've seen somebody put their shades on, then catch the ball. We're not doing that. And I used to play baseball, too. I used to play football, basketball. We're not doing a lot of stuff. You're not scoring on Wimby. He's way too tall. You're not running. You're not hitting Derrick Henry. I don't know why everybody wants to say that. You're not doing that. Like, you're not meeting him in any hole. You're not meeting him in the open field. You're not hitting off of Miz. You're not hitting off of Chris Sale once he gets moving. You're not hitting off of Christopher Sanchez, how he was moving the ball last night with his slider, his changeup. You're not hitting the ball. You're just expecting them to throw it as fast as they can in the middle. They're not doing that. They can move at it like 93 with a sweeper, with a sinker going like 85. Like, what are we, a slider going 87? Like, guys, we're not anywhere on the level that these athletes are on.
We're
like,
with you, Vaughn. We're with you, man.
The other thing, Vaughn, is that nobody really knows how fast 85, 90 miles an hour is. Yeah. 60 feet, 6. They just don't. You wouldn't know.
No.
Unless you've done it recently. And I remember, I'll tell you the quick story. So I played years ago, decades ago, it feels like, in a fantasy camp at the Clippers game. This was on Mound Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in an amazing group of legendary players. George Foster of the Reds, George Foster and Lee May, Mark the Bird Fidrich. We had Vita Blue. Like, we had some guys. And I hit a ball off of Vita Blue that he threw in there. I bet it was probably, at the time, was 80 miles an hour, bet. Fast. And I remember, so that was in an inter-squad game. We come back and play this real game the Sunday before the Clippers played. And he's out there, and he's mowing everybody down. And everyone's like, what does this guy think he's doing? And he heard all of us complaining in our dugout, and he walked in to our dugout and just torched us. You blanker, blank, 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 wanted to see major league pitching. What do you think this is? Right. And it was like, and he was throwing low 80s.
Yeah.
And no one could, and he was sawing everybody.
I love that story. And I always say, it's not even really just the velocity. It's the combination of velocity and movement
placement
with these guys, man. Like, that's the other part to where you really just stand no chance. Because to your point, for a lot of people, 80 is just, that's a blink of an eye. You get to 80 plus and that thing's falling off the table, then you're cooked.
Yeah.
You're cooked.
All right, more of your calls next. On the floor is yours. Gift card still up for grabs. Rothman and Ice in the
Fan. By Nitsa. Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long.
If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you.
Your home of the Reds.
The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy, warm and humid for the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Maybe a few showers and thunderstorms. Better chances likely to be off to our west. Overnight, though, better chance of thunderstorms area-wide. Those may produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early on Tuesday, then partly cloudy skies and highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Fascinating. Informative. Covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, back to it. I got a little shout out to Snagglepuss, though. He said, what about a TV reporter playing nine ball?
Whoops, I know a guy.
Thank you, my man. It did not occur to me, but that happened.
Sorry about it.
That's when the stars align, the planets align, and it happened.
Give me the Clay Hall line real quick. When you kind of maybe
going
down
out to play,
run this.
So, I don't even know if this place even exists anymore. It was Southern Bowling and Billiards on Refugee Road. I'm going out to do a story on Zeke, the guy's name was Earl Strickland. He's the world nine ball champ. And he was coming in to do an appearance, probably trying to sell some tables. And my idea was to go out there and have him run the table. And my idea was that you'll see me in the corner, napping, reading a paper, like eating. Like I never get a shot. Like, because he'd break and he'd run the table and that would be it in nine ball. And all of a sudden, so he breaks, and he didn't like where he left the cue ball. And I'm like, don't worry, we're on tape, just do it again. So I was, and then he did it again, Maddie, and I think he finally left it where he wanted. He didn't sink anything on the break, I remember. And so technically, I guess it would have been my shot, but we let him go. And he made the one, he made the two, and he tried to bank the three, and he missed. So now what do we do? We've done this now 2-3 times. So in a weird way, none of us, we didn't even look at each other. And there were a few people there surrounding the table. It wasn't a crowd or anything. And I just got up and said, all right, my shot. Like, we just changed the story. Like,
get off the sticks,
well,
man.
No, but basically, it was like, how many times are we going to do this, right? He did, so he performed some trick shots beforehand. Yeah. So we had an up B-roll. And, you know, we had a ping pong table that we put on a pool table in our basement, my brother and I. And so the ping pong table was probably on there more than we even played pool. But before we got this ping pong table, we were playing pool. And my stepdad loved it. We'd have friends over. And it was, I mean, I can't believe he got my mom to allow. Like, it was almost in our, in like the lit, like the den, like a sunken living room. And it was just in there.
Okay.
I was like, how did she allow him to do this? Because we didn't have a basement. We just had kind of a sunken living area.
We need to bring those back, by the way.
So we never.
I always loved the looks of those. Like in old shows, like 80s movies or whatever. Like,
that's, well, it was. That's, it was an
old
house.
I love the look of those.
So you walk in the house, and there was a little area to the left and a small kitchen. And then you would go down these four steps into what you call a sunken living room. Mm-hmm. And that was the little, the TV was there and the couch. And there was a pool table. And it was a nice one, but I can't believe my mom allowed that. And so we grew up playing pool. And so I don't know what happened. The start, you know what I mean? It just, things happen. You're in the zone. And 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's hot.
Now you guys have to understand this. The nine ball is the toughest, was the toughest shot. It was a long cut shot. Like it was a sure scratch. You know, cue ball is in the middle, nine ball's down in the middle. I mean, this is, you got to cut it in a corner. To me, it was probably the hardest shot in pool. And I don't know what happened, but I made it.
It's just your day.
And
huh?
I turned to the camera like Tom Cruise in The Color of Money, and I kissed the cue and I put it in the air.
That probably
and
pissed then he him off.
It did. He turned his back on me. And then when the cameras, and I've told the story a million times, I'll tell it a million and one. The cameras go off, and he looks at me and goes, that's why Moscone never played amateurs, because this kind of blank could happen. And I said, Earl, it's just, you know, things came together. He's like, that's not making air.
Oh. Editorial control, huh?
And I said, so now I got an ethical problem. So, and I'm brand new at Channel 6, or 1 year in. And Clay had just gotten there. I was there in 94. He was there in 95. Yeah. So I call him from the car. We had CB radios in the car, not phones. And I get on the walkie and I say, I got a problem. And he goes, he doesn't want us to air the story. He says, what do you mean he doesn't want you to air the story? And I go, well, we got a little problem. I beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you what? I go, I ran the table on him. And he goes, oh, we're airing it.
It's my favorite
part. Thank God I've never heard from Earl Strickland again, and I still love this story.
Oh, that's
all cool. Right, let's go back to the phones. You got Danny, our boy Danny from Delaware.
Yeah, we got Danny.
Fire him
here.
Up, Danny. Your dime, your dance floor.
Boys, quick shout out to Vaughn. Haven't heard from Vaughn in a while, so it's good to have him back on the floor. Is yours.
And was nice.
Also, shout out to TLC since he's missing today. He must have had the Salisbury steak from Sirens last night, so I feel your pain. But either way, boys, I heard you talking about that you saw the Odyssey over the weekend. Well, the Odyssey, my kids' college fund, or should I say lack thereof, after LeBron lost me everything on the prediction market after his recent Benedict Arnold impression. This dude is chasing rings harder than I chased my wife in high school. It's borderline stalkerish. Now, there's an old saying in Philadelphia, at least I know it's in Ohio, probably in Philadelphia, that says, fool me once, shame on you. And fool me, you can't get fooled again. If I was Dan Gilbert, I would sign Delonte West off the streets just to retire him, put a statue of him right where LeBron's would have been. I mean, damn it! Why can't Cleveland catch a break?
That's the one I was waiting for today. I was waiting for one. I was kind of surprised we didn't have anybody yet.
Because it had a little coin on it. The emotions, it was both there. And I understand it.
Schefter's little half source didn't help the situation either on the program last week while you were gone.
I heard about that.
We may have to play it for you.
Because Schefter,
he's not an NFL guy. There were no repercussions. Truly, he said it was a guest twice. But he talked about a text he got like a month ago saying he's going to Miami.
Mm-hmm. And then last week when I was out, too, we had the whole social media, you know, goof up from the Miami
Heat. That person's on vacation, supposedly. That's what I read today.
Pat Riley.
And they claimed that it was something they were putting out before the vacation just to be ready.
Yeah, that was a rough look. Because it was what? A link to the introductory press conference?
On the exact day. Today it was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What do you got, Zeke?
We got Adam here.
Where's Adam calling in from? The floor is yours.
Hello.
Hi, Adam.
Matty had me thinking about the situation with his pitcher that's 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I have, my daughter plays on a 15U travel, or 14U, going to 16U travel team, and an everyday adult couldn't hit that.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Adam. 43
feet.
Yeah. It's tough, right? Especially like you talk about the softball pitchers that you are too. That ball's rising too with some of this stuff. Like they're filthy.
Oh, the fast pitch softball.
Fast pitch softball is a whole other beast.
Oh my god, another beast.
Yeah, that's
Zeke tough. Might have a better shot catching one because it's on a line probably.
And also Zeke, that's a tough look for you to admit that. We love the honesty. Yeah. Like the softball that's noticeably bigger than the baseball, and you still couldn't catch that. That's
you know, it's funny because Reimer comes in, and we all are like, what is he thinking? Scotty, obviously he can't hit a baseball. And then the minute that I say I can't do something, everyone's like, are you kidding? You couldn't catch one? Is this serious?
You had a glove, right?
I did have the glove.
Okay. I mean, this isn't like the softball they play in Chicago, which is 16-inch softball. No gloves.
No gloves.
No, it's 16-inch. It's a bigger ball, and sometimes it softens up a little bit over time.
What is this, like the barrel knuckle, bare knuckle fighting of softball? Is that what you guys are doing up there?
That's
like,
what we did. I eventually graduated to 12-inch softball.
Let me get this right. In Chicago, you grow up and you play football in the streets.
That's right.
And you play softball with no gloves.
That's right.
Built different, Chirac.
It's amazing. All right, feeling good at Skyline time, enjoying a couple cheese conies or a Skyline three-way always makes the day better. Zeke, you pick. Give it to whomever you choose for the best call there. I figured somebody would have to call in about LeBron. Like that's what I said at the beginning of the show. It seems like Cleveland's kind of like, it was this afterthought for a lot of people. They were leading the markets a lot. It went back and forth a little bit with Miami, but there was a very good feeling that Cleveland was neck and neck with anybody. And
I think it's the coming home, the winning the chips already there. I think that that chapter's already been written and read, and everybody's felt really good about that. And so, like, if this was somehow, some way his first opportunity to come back to Cleveland, we hadn't seen it before, then I think the emotion would be higher and the volume would be turned up a little louder on that aspect of it, because everybody kind of came back together and then achieved everything in dramatic fashion too, the way that they did against the Warriors. I think there's some people that are like, okay, it's not the worst thing that he didn't run it back with us again.
All right, we're coming back with Adam King at 10 TV Sports. We'll see what kind of athletic prowess the he was kind of the playwright guy. I don't think he probably played a whole lot of sports.
No, he was doing the Carlton dance on stage.
Yeah, you know? That's right. We'll talk to him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course, talk about how stiff his back is, wonder how he can even make it through a hole, and then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Let me ask you this. If you were doing a TV segment in the studio,
great question. I love
that. And they came back from commercial break, would you be there already?
Let me just say this, if you guys want the honest answer, okay? I have been feeling just a tad bit under the weather.
Well, let me scoot over.
Yeah, get out of the way. Golly. And so
what do you got? You on antibiotics? Because I am.
I was, uh-oh. You got it for me? What did
no,
you?
No, I'm all right, but
I was over there for about 4 minutes just trying to clear my nose so that I didn't come on here.
Scoot back even further.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Maddie just got back from vacation. Don't send him back into the infirmary.
Let me tell you something. Maddie and his vacations are never ending. We got to talk about
this. I don't
know.
He spent the whole week at IKEA or something. He's building all sorts of furniture.
I got a lot done around the crib.
He might raise a barn next week.
I got a lot done around the crib last week. My vacation, it's been spotty.
Maddie, every time I turn around, you're in Aruba, Cancun, Jamaica, Cabo.
What a miss that was. Did you, when you said you're in Aruba, Jamaica,
I want to
like that was
it.
Such that's, a miss.
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't want to get us a copyright issue. You know, that's, I don't know how long
just
I'm allowed to
sing
a song.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
You do sound a little nasally.
I believe that.
Thank you very much.
I believe that Adam King's been out of the country 3 times this year. Alone?
You know what? Are you ready for this? In the year 2026, mm-hmm. I have not left the United States. So there you go.
Okay.
Next month I do.
You do. I was going to say you're due.
I knew it was coming. It was coming. It's good to see you, man.
Me and Ian Fitzsimmons are going to Italy.
You better get inoculated or whatever you need, whatever you need to get to go out of the country. You need some shots and certain things.
Back to that.
I think you get those when you're like 3. No, also, can we talk about the fact that, like, do you guys have your birth certificate? Do you know where your birth certificate is?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Rothman?
No, I think I have an original, like my social security card, but I don't know where my birth certificate would be right now.
I don't know. And as a parent, I'm going to dedicate myself to this. You are in charge of your child for 18 years. Okay.
Are you making an announcement right
18
now?
Years. Got you for 18
no,
years.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying one day when I am a parent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just said no. Okay. Okay.
I
didn't
have
know you're not one.
No. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. I have no information of my shot records when I was a baby, none of that stuff, my birth certificate. Like, I think there's a world where I was just picked up off the side of the street. Now, I know that I've had it all at some point in my life, but, like, when people ask me these questions, I'm like, you know what? My mom just lost it all. It's all gone. There's no world where she knows where any of it is.
Okay. She must have kept something.
She's not like, you know, there's some people out there that keep the baby teeth and save them forever.
The little shoe, shoes.
No. My mom still got those.
The shoes?
Yeah, she loves to bring those up. My mom likes to embarrass me around Christmas time every
year.
She
bronzed those shoes?
She's got the shoes, like a letter I wrote to Santa when I was like 6. Like, she brings all that stuff out. You know how moms can get, man. They like to embarrass their sons.
My mom, the only way that she still has it is if it's in her hoarder boxes in the basement. She's got just so many boxes where you're like, all right, Ma, we need to just open the door and let people come in and take a box. Do it like, what's that show, Storage Wars? We'd have a great time.
Where were you on Friday about 11:40 when the LeBron news broke?
I was in the middle of the movie Odyssey. The Odyssey.
Okay. A mid-morning,
it was.
Were you off?
I was not. So here's the deal. I am a huge...
Difference between TV and radio, Maddie. Mm-hmm.
I am a huge Christopher Nolan.
Go see a movie before the show.
Hey, I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan. I was so tired of everybody tweeting about this movie and talking about this movie. And I'm a diehard. Like, I saw Oppenheimer on day one. I was like, I got to see it. And so my dad and I went to see the movie. And my dad tells me after the three-hour movie, hey, by the way, I'm a little under the weather. I just want to let you know. Like, hey, thanks, Dad. Really appreciate that. You big guy. Thanks. Thanks so much.
And now here you are, Monday, under the weather a little bit. I thought the movie was good.
I loved it.
I saw it twice last week.
I'm not here for you to disparage what is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Okay, see, I'm not there yet. That's what I told AR to start the show. I'm not there yet.
Let me ask you this. Did you read the book?
No.
Did you read the book?
No.
Okay, good. People who read the book and they're like, it doesn't stick to the book. I do not care.
I'm the same way when it comes to Game of Thrones stuff.
I don't care. I did not see a word on a page. I saw the movie and I loved the movie. And I have people that are like, well, in the movie or in the book, you know, he talks to the
Cyclops. That happens in Game of Thrones a lot too. House of the Dragon, people are doing that as well. Where it's like,
stop it. You can't be a book person and a movie person. All right. Get on one side or the other. I haven't read a book since sixth grade. Okay.
We can tell.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Stay on one side or the other. I've seen 8 million movies. I've seen books. The covers look cool. That's it.
Let me ask you this.
I like that take.
If LeBron would have chosen Cleveland, do you leave the movie?
Mm. How bad do you want the Emmy?
So that's
I'm talking about just knowing. Were you scheduled to work Friday?
Yeah.
All right.
No. So that's an interesting question.
It really is.
Because I don't know. I don't know what the breaking news aspect that I can contribute in that moment. Because okay. Wait, what time did it break?
11:40-ish.
Okay, yeah, then I probably would have had to come in to do a hit in the noon. Yes, that's fair.
Would they have been texting you, or would you have felt,
sure.
I just got to go in before, it like been preemptively, a, it, I'm
I
going in?
Yeah, I would have gotten in.
So you wouldn't even have waited for a text or a call? You would have just come in?
I felt like that's such a big, that would be the whole story. That'd
what
be
time
the
did the movie start?
Movie started at 10 a.m.
So you're not either till 11... Actually,
you got a long way to go still.
I do. But
you
I
had about
I,
another
I,
hour.
There's, you know what? If I wasn't working, it's a different story because I will come in on my off day. Like if it had broken on my off day and we like wanted to do that big, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll come in. Of course. You know, when you need to be here, you're here.
So but, you would have left the movie or no?
Yeah, because it was my shift. Like, of course, I've got to come in. And that's 100%.
You said, I don't know, the breaking news aspect. I don't know. I mean, in local TV, I mean, would you have thought about driving to Cleveland? Would that have made any sense?
I think my first reaction would have been, I know this sounds silly to a listener's mindset, but let's go to Ohio State's campus. Let's go to High Street, the short north, and let's start talking to people.
Maddie, this is the laziest thing in TV that he just talked about.
Okay, it's not the laziest thing. Let me ask you this.
This is called, back in the day, Man on the Street.
It is.
And you just go there and get... 5 or 6 sound bites, the best ones, and there's your story.
That's your lazy aspect. You got to go and you got to have fun with it, all right? You got to go, and the story is, where do we stand on LeBron's leg? I mean, you can talk to people and you can get interviews, but like, even if you drive all the way to Cleveland, what are you going to do in Cleveland? Stand in front of an arena and say, hey, LeBron's here?
I'm just asking if it would have been worth it.
Let me tell you what the laziest thing you can do in TV. You know what the laziest thing you can do in TV is you can quit before you and I get to work together and decide you're going to do radio every day.
That's right.
All right, that's...
Go to a movie on the day LeBron chooses. That would have been awesome. No, listen, that's what they used to do. You know what you do? You'd go to a sports bar at noon, and you would just... It would be on the TVs. You'd have some visuals. But you're right. It would all be just celebratory LeBron coming back, and then what do people expect of his final swan song in Cleveland? But now...
If there
it's
was,
there.
It, no.
You could have gone, by the way, you could have done it the opposite. Here's the other deal. You could have done the opposite. You could have gone for the disappointment. You could have gone up to Cleveland and done, hey, how do you feel about him not picking you to end his career?
Yeah, but I...
Might have been better.
You know what I want to talk about, and you just reminded me of this because it was what I did on Friday. You guys heard of Cosmic Baseball?
Yeah, I saw a picture of this. Our head pro, Little Turtle, Andy Oxender, told me about this and showed me a picture of it.
Let me tell you something.
Is it like night? It's night baseball.
It is
all lit up, and
so they play the whole game, the second half of the game, I should say. Once the sun goes down, under black light, and it's all neon, and it's glow in the dark balls. It is one of they sold out Huntington Park all 3 days. Banana ball, you ain't got nothing.
Is this the same league?
No,
this is
a whole different concept. They just play baseball. It is so cool. And
interesting.
Okay. They're getting ready to do it in hockey as well. It was one of the coolest experiences. When they turned the lights off and they turned on, they shot confetti in the air. I mean, it felt like I don't know what a 5-year old, he's not going clubbing, but I imagine he'll like remember that as his experience.
But it's everything's pitch black except
pitch
for the
black,
field.
Except for but all the fans, they tell you to wear neon. So all the fans and the confetti's
my wallet's
neon.
Gone.
Yeah, no, okay. that's
so the uniforms, the bats,
the balls,
just all
they
neon.
Draw,
okay.
The baseline is completely neon. You can like it's unbelievable. I'll show you a video in the break, but that's not really good for radio, so I'm not going to do it right now. But I want to say there are a lot of people out there that don't like banana ball. If you don't like banana ball, don't let that bleed into cosmic baseball, because that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. That was.
It seems like banana ball has kind of carved out their own lane. That there's some they're having some pretty good success.
They're though. Having success, but it also feels like banana ball lives in this world where like you either love it or you hate it. Like baseball purists are like, stop dancing. I hate it. But it's become a show, and there's people that forget that it's a show. Like it's not.
Like, but some of the venues that they're doing numbers,
they sold
man.
Out Wrigley
yeah, they're
all
doing numbers.
Long.
That's what I'm saying. And so they're doing very well. Very
but cosmic well. Baseball, 10 out of 10. That's what I did on Friday instead of LeBron. I went and saw The Odyssey, which was one of the best movies you'll ever see. Also, did you guys see that someone leaked it on Twitter?
Yeah, the entire thing.
That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
The movie.
The Odyssey.
I mean, like the spoilers of it? Or
no,
just
no.
the entire movie.
The whole movie.
Put it out on Twitter.
It was
really
Christopher Nolan sending the all black trucks to your house right now.
You mean someone went to the theater?
No, that's the digital
let's
version.
Get it out on the street, Brody.
No, this wasn't like an iPhone shooting.
This
was
maybe
like
they
said.
Were bootlegging the movie.
No.
This was like he said, like a clear digital form of the movie.
I don't
it's
know.
It's a great question, but it was out there on Twitter.
Come on.
It was.
So I was watching, I was at the Crew and FC Cincinnati game, and I'm scrolling through my Twitter, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, who wants to watch The Odyssey? And
this, wait, so I can do that now?
No, it's been taken down.
Okay.
But it got millions of views. Millions. Mm-hmm. All crazy. And so I was like, there's no way
sounds
this is
highly
real.
Illegal.
Oh, I mean, that person is that person has no more money. They've been sued into oblivion, I have no doubt. But it was one of the wildest things I've ever seen.
All right, stick around. College football is a month away.
Yes, it is.
And
you going to Chicago this week?
We leave tomorrow.
Okay. According to the ESPN Analytics Football Power Index.
Did you just make that up?
Maybe. These teams have the best chance to reach the playoff. We'll identify if there's an outlier with Adam King of 10 TV next.
Rothman and Ice on the Fan. Hey.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90 degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
A perfect afternoon parlay. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, Big Ten media days in Chicago. Buckeyes will go on Wednesday.
Yes.
All-inclusive, one day, in and out procedure.
They take what's called a private jet, and they get on the jet. And then they fly to Chicago.
Will they be taking local media on the jet?
You know, they don't know it, but yes. Mm-hmm. They we're going to just sneak on there. It's just the easiest way. You know, we don't ask any questions. And well, I offered, I'm like, hey, do you guys need like somebody who's willing to like walk up and down the aisle and say, do you need peanuts? And they're like, we don't eat peanuts. We eat, you know,
organic
gourmet.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, they are flying in Wednesday morning. They'll talk, and then they'll get on a plane and fly back home. And then guess what they'll do the next week? They'll talk again right
talk
here
again.
At Columbus.
So the drive that's happening to Chicago tomorrow.
Yes.
You, Nicole Sheeran.
That's it.
That just you two.
That's it.
Who's doing the driving? Are you
I
a,
drive. Okay. Nicole is not allowed to drive.
I didn't know if you were going to be a passenger.
When I am in the car, Nicole is not allowed. So okay. Have I not told you the Michigan story? Oh, my gosh. This is one of the funniest, scariest moments of my life. So we're up in Michigan last year for the game. I don't know if you guys remember, there was a big snowstorm. So we're cutting stuff and driving back because we're trying to beat the biggest part of the snowstorm. Well, we lost, sadly. The snowstorm was just dumping snow on us.
We better get going if we want to stay ahead of the weather.
That's right. The hard stuff isn't supposed to come down for a few hours. Heavy stuff.
Two Bill Murray movies mixed into one little sentence. There
we go.
Two different ones,
yes.
Same actor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I said, Nicole, why don't you edit your stuff and I'll drive us through the snowstorm and like, but then I got to stop and I got to edit my stuff for 11.
She's like, okay, sounds good. So we left at about 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and it gets to about 10:15, and the snow is coming down. And I'm like, Nicole, I got to edit at some point. Like, the show's in 45 minutes. She's like, okay, sounds good. So I said, I'm going to pull off at this gas station. We're going to switch seats. So we switch seats.
You want to switch while you were driving?
Yeah, dude, we didn't think that
was the
smartest.
Seen that done before.
Yeah. You know, okay. The cruise control can only do so much. And so we switch. And so I'm editing. And all of a sudden, I look up. And, I mean, we're in a blizzard, pretty much. And she wasn't speeding, to be clear. But she was going the speed limit in the snow.
Mm. 70 miles. Too fast for conditions.
Yes. 70 miles an hour. Okay. And you can't see anything. And I said, pull over. And that was the last time that Nicole Sharon has ever been allowed to drive me. Okay. Because you cannot allow a California girl to drive in the snow. Because my life was put on the line. And
I mean, I'm somewhat impressed that it was that way versus the opposite way would have been way too slow. Would have been my prediction.
Yeah, you would be impressed now because I sit here and I get to tell the story. Sitting in the passenger seat, impressed was not the word that I was thinking of. I would have rather her driven 15 miles an hour. I would have rather her said, you know what, Adam? Let's just sit under this nice, beautiful gas station covering until you get your edited piece. She said, no, I want to see these Buicks. You know, they say they're real great, these all-terrain Buicks. Let's see how they... she drives a Jeep, so...
What time did you guys touch down in Columbus? How long did the drive take to get back home?
The nice thing was, once we got to Toledo, we beat the storm.
In a DeLorean?
Yeah, that's right. I would say we got back home about midnight. But we were... I'm a very cautious driver in the snow. I'm in no rush.
Of course.
Okay? I'm not... Yeah. I'm not in any type of hurry to get home. I like to put on the Christmas music and just enjoy the snowfall.
Do you have questions teed up right now for Coach Day, Jeremiah, Julian, and I believe McLean's going as well?
Yes.
Do you have your questions already lined up, or are you just off the dome freestyling on
Wednesday?
I like
to have a conversation.
Okay.
I don't really like go in with like a, hey, this is my list of questions. The one question that has been on my mind, and we can debate this here, be real quick, is... Does Julian Sain need to be a captain? Do you think, and I'll ask both of you, do you think that your starting quarterback returning, who your biggest challenge, your biggest push has been his leadership, got to see the leadership. Does that not mean that he needs to be a captain? Because I think that you have to undoubtedly name Julian Sain a captain. And the coaches don't vote on it. The players do. And so I think if
the coaches have a...
I don't think
right
so.
Final say on
they
that?
See the list and they're
yes,
not.
Yes, they get to decide the list, but it's in an order. And so I think if Julian Sain's the sixth most voted on captain, guess what? You got six captains this year. If he's the 11th most voted on captain, guess what? The whole team's going out there.
Is it a story if he's not one?
I just think it really hurts your mentally. Like mentally, it's hard to say, like, you've done everything right to be a leader. You have been the Iron Buckeye. You have been this and that. We have seen you take that step forward, but you're not a captain.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, let's live in a world where he isn't a captain. Is that going to hold this year's team back from accomplishing their goals if their quarterback isn't a captain, in your mind?
I don't think it would hold him back, but I definitely think it would be a tough roadblock mentally for Julian. I think not just Julian. I think for anybody. I think for any second-year quarterback to not feel that the locker room thinks he's one of the biggest leaders.
It's odd. It would be odd. I don't think it's the end of the world, AR, but it would be odd.
And so I have said...
Will we ever really know? Like, that's my point, is that if he wasn't picked, would they manipulate it to make him a captain?
Well,
just for...
And so that is my question to Ryan Day. Not will you manipulate it, but
I know.
Ryan, do you feel that it is important to have your second-year quarterback, who is one of your leaders on the team, have that captaincy alongside his name? And would you ever push for someone to be a captain because you felt they needed that leadership drive of the team?
I can't wait to hear his answer to that.
That's the only question I got for him so far.
I think it's a good question.
Because I just want the answer to it.
Mm-hmm. I think he will be, though.
Sometimes it doesn't have to be. There has to be. Your best players have to be your captains, you would hope.
Yeah.
And then there's always an outlier of somebody that may not be your best player, but has an inspirational... Yeah. Leader of
Brandon Ennis was that
Ennis
last year.
For sure last
and
year.
Jeremiah is not going to be a captain. But Jeremiah is okay with that. That's not what Jeremiah is. Jeremiah did not He's not a vocal leader. He's a leader by a guy who puts his head down and shows how to be the best player in the country.
And people kind of laughed at Dion for the leaders and dogs thing, but that's what he was leaning into. Some guys are going to be able to do it verbally and through their actions, and some guys are just, hey, when I show up, this is my leadership role right here. I'm just a baller. Yeah.
There isn't a person on that team that wouldn't tell you they learned from Jeremiah. Let me ask
you this. If you asked any of the players this week who they think is the toughest game on their schedule,
I don't think they'd give me an answer.
Probably not.
Well, I think they would all give me one answer.
Michigan?
Yeah. I think they would all say, we always circle that last game in the schedule.
But I'm wondering if you could gauge it by hesitation. Like, if it's not your instant reaction. Oh, guys. It's the last game of the year, always. What are you talking about?
Take Michigan off the board.
You could do that, too.
What's your toughest game this year? Or whatever. However you want to
frame
it.
Specifically, they'd be probably wouldn't want to get locked into that answer. But
what do you think it is?
I think it's probably week two.
I think it might be Oregon.
Texas.
Could be Oregon. Game is here.
I think it might be.
It might be from a talent standpoint, but the game is here. It gives them that edge.
The Indiana game's on the road.
It is, but it feels to me.
There's one that really worries me. And
Kinnick?
I think, no. Okay. At USC.
Ooh.
I just think it's such a, like, USC, I don't think that they can beat Ohio State straight up in any way. But I just think the way the schedule builds out, it's like built to be that game where you're like, it's a night game on Halloween.
See, I think they're going to have Ohio State's full attention.
Yeah,
I think USC will. So,
and then you got to whip around in the next week, come back and play Oregon.
That's where I think the Oregon one's a good call. But I think that trip out to USC, because I think they got a week between that, right?
Yeah, they got a bye week before.
So I think they'll be locked in for that.
I think they should have had a bye week after it.
Well, this was fun as always.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
I figured that you might let her drive for the season. Like, you drive in the winter, she drives in the summer, and then everybody's happy. But that's not going to happen.
She is more than welcome to drive at the arcade in Chicago if she'd like to try one of those NASCAR arcade things. But she will not be behind the wheel of the Buick with me in the passenger.
Who gets to control the aux cord real quick?
I do not control the aux cord. I don't really care.
Okay.
I'm not a big, I'll listen to anything. I think if you're picky, then you've got to control the aux cord. I'm not a picky.
This, the fact that I, when you said that, had no clue what you were talking about.
Oh my gosh.
Is bizarre.
Coming up next week on this segment, we name 10 things to see if Rothman knows what they are.
No, I believe I know that it had something to do with the music.
What is the aux cord?
But I listen to regular radio. I don't plug anything in. I didn't even know what he meant. I thought he meant
nobody really does.
Cord. I thought it was some. Now I know. It hit me, but I didn't know. I didn't know when he first said it.
Nobody probably uses an aux cord anyway. We're all on Bluetooth.
But, do you know figures. What Blu-ray is?
Yeah, of course. I know.
What about a DVD?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But he. What did you call it, Matty?
An aux cord.
The aux cord.
This is to be clear. Yeah,
an auxiliary cord.
I want to defend Matty here. Yeah. He didn't call it that. Like, it was a weird. That's what it's called.
I thought it was OX. I wasn't even sure what he had
Isn't
said.
Isn't it AUX?
Of course it
okay.
is.
Okay.
But have you heard of an iPhone? You're an not going to believe this.
An iPhone.
They have the music and the calling.
I don't own one.
Same device.
So I really don't know what
Pretty
it is.
Pretty unbelievable. You and your Garmin, though, when as you drive
if
around.
If he spelled it, I would have been fine. When he said it, it didn't register.
Wait till you find out. Netflix, you don't have to order those DVDs anymore,
That's
Rothman.
Amazing. I still have them. What do I do with them?
Right to your TV.
What should I do with them, Adam?
Right to your TV.
What do I do with them?
You watch them.
No, the DVDs that I still have.
Sell them in 30 years.
Oh, that's maybe, right.
I don't know. Who's maybe they're worse.
Well, they did buy the LPs, the vinyls. Those came back.
What's an LP?
Exactly. You didn't know.
Good to see you.
All right. That's Adam King, 10 TV Sports. We're going to come back. Jerry Jeudy trying not to pick a quarterback. Did he do a good job? Rothman and Ice in the face.
Serve.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy's wife Mia is in stable condition today after being allegedly shot by their son on Sunday at their home in Virginia. Elijah Zion Bieniemy was arrested and charged with malicious wounding, use of a firearm in commission of a felony, and discharge of a firearm inside of a dwelling, per the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office. Chiefs pass game coordinator Joe Blamire will assume Bieniemy's duties in his absence. College sports, USA Today picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten this year, while Jeremiah Smith was named preseason offensive player Player of the Year. Up north, Michigan AD Ward Manuel will be paid $7 million as part of his separation agreement from the school per the AP. Other perks include Michigan tickets and golf privileges, while the school will contribute $108,000 to his retirement account and cover his attorney fees. Baseball: Reds host the Guardians tonight at 7 in the second leg of the Ohio Cup. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
All right, final hour of the program. Maddie, I think the reason I thought about this during the break, the reason I got thrown off was, if I was driving to Chicago with somebody, I would make the mistake of thinking we were going to be talking. And when you said, who controls the aux cord, I heard it in such a bizarre way, like, because I don't plug my phone in that. I don't use it that way, the vehicle. Like, I put on the charger, and then that's it. And so, old school. And so, I never even thought. So, when you said it, like, it didn't register. And I'm like, that's old, man. That's just, it just wasn't in my playbook. It just didn't have, and maybe if you would have said, maybe you'd gone, who controls the aux? Like if you said like aux, like auxiliary, maybe it would have hit me, but it just right over my head. Like guys were speaking a foreign language.
Do you or would you allow someone to go on the drive to Chicago? So six and some change, right? Let's call it that. To have control over what's being played in your car. Podcast, book,
we'd have to,
music,
you'd
whatever.
You got to agree on that.
Just can't
you have somewhat agree on that. Like, right, if you're not going to talk and you're just going to listen to something, then I think both people have to be in line a little bit.
Especially if it isn't music. Especially if it isn't music. Because I don't want to be listening to a book that I don't care about at all that you're reading. I think music, there's more of a, hey, you know, common ground. It's what you like, whatever. There's, I think, more.
I don't even know if I would listen to a book on tape, as it used to be said, with somebody.
No chance. You're like, doing
that
would a book.
Be, that's what I'm saying. You have to be reading the exact book together.
I don't think I've ever even, maybe I have done one in my life and it was on a CD, but it was a book on tape, but I was alone driving and that's why I played it.
I
agree. If you're with another human being, I don't think you're both listening to a book on tape together.
As I said, you guys would literally have to be in a book club together reading the same book at the same time.
Let's pause and discuss that last chapter.
I agree with you guys, but talking for six straight hours ain't it either.
No, no, you're not doing that. You have to have some.
What did our boy say? What did our boy Woody Harrelson say? True Detective.
Oh, let's let the car be silent, a place of silent reflection.
So true. So true.
I think Jerry Jeudy needed to take this question as a little silent reflection. The Browns are transitioning quarterback-wise, and who knows what's going to happen. And they got a new coach, and the veteran wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, was part of that previous regime. And he's going to have a role here, probably a pretty decent one. And he would have an opinion on the quarterback situation. So let's make that very clear. He's entitled to have an opinion. Whether he should share that or not is up for debate. Like, they're in a competition battle. They got a weird one going on right now. And I just read this. Emmanuel Acho accused Jerry Jeudy of sabotaging the Browns over quarterback controversy.
Come on.
Like, basically, Jerry Jeudy gets cooked by Acho.
Todd Monken's not going to listen to what Jerry Jeudy has to say.
So, now, you'll hear this. You guys will have to set this up because you won't be able to actually see what he's doing, correct?
You can. It's all. There's no audio.
Okay.
So it's just a live video, and one of his followers in the comments said, who do you want to be your starting quarterback?
Yes.
And during that time, he threw up on the screen, no voice, just a number 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which we all know is Deshaun Watson's number. And so now, and you don't have audio or anything you want to play here, Zig? Okay.
No
audio. So now Jerry Jeudy is coming back and saying that we're all wrong, AR.
Yeah.
No, you guys are reading it wrong. I can't stand when athletes do this. Like Zeke said, you can go back and watch the Instagram live.
Why would he do it?
And see.
I've watched it.
He's just, he's sitting there scrolling, and I'm sure you've seen athletes and celebrities do this. They're bored killing time. Like an Ask Me Anything that we see on Twitter sometimes. This is like another version of that. So they're bored, and like Zeke said, the question popped up, who do you want to be your starting quarterback next year? And he throws up the four. And so now he's saying that, no, you guys aren't reading that right. And he threw out a tweet that said, I don't speak on decisions that aren't mine to make. I support my teammates and brothers.
He's right about that. He didn't speak.
I do my job and control what I can control. Let's stop creating narratives that aren't there for likes and clicks. I bet this won't go viral because it's too positive real for y'all.
Acho was dead on this.
100.
He's like, stop gaslighting us. You're trying to tell us we're trying to splinter the team? Stand in it.
I can't
stand
this.
You walking it back makes it a bigger deal.
Right. He's so right. And athletes, sometimes you just disown it. Now, it's easy for me to say that, right? It's easy for me to say that because he's got to go into that locker room and interact with these guys and work with these guys. But he definitely picked a side.
What number is Shadur?
Two. Deshaun's four.
So if I was advising him, this is what I would have said. And no one could have disputed it. I was making a joke. I held up four fingers and included both of their numbers, 2 and 4. Done. End of story.
That could have been
it. And that would have been it.
Yeah. But
that when I held up the four fingers, it included 2 and included 4.
And 4.
And that's all he had to say. And it didn't need a wink. It didn't need a smile. It needed nothing. And guess what? Everyone could have accused him of. Well, oh, yeah, right. That's what you. But no. But the fact that he didn't think of that is now like, okay, fine. I'm okay with him saying,
that's what I'm saying.
Deshaun looks good, but I don't think you'd want to undermine the process of your own team by even giving an opinion publicly yet.
I don't think that Todd Monken is going to be, let me go watch this Instagram live to see what Jerry Jeudy feels so I can make my decision on the quarterback position. I think that'd be foolish of Todd Monken to do it.
Opinion in-house.
Correct. And I don't think he is going to do that. And for Jeudy, I can't even really be that mad at him for doing something like this because I'm sure there are a lot of guys that are in situations like he's in that have their preferences, that have a guy that they have better chemistry with, or the ball comes out of his hands smoother, or whatever it may be when you're a pass catcher and you have to build chemistry with a quarterback. And clearly Jerry Jeudy feels more connected and has more chemistry than Deshaun Watson right now. For Jerry, he just got to worry about being consistent with what he does. Because now I think there is a lot of pressure on him to lead the pack this year when it comes to this wide receiver room until KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston are ready to take over. But that's got to be his focus.
The positive part of it is if he's picking Deshaun, that means there's something good he's seen with Deshaun. And I think people are doubting that Deshaun could be anywhere close to being what his expectations are. And maybe that is true. But the bad news is that if it is Shadur, and now Shadur knows that his, quote, top receiver would prefer the other guy. And that's the issue here. And it may not mean anything. Yeah. They're both going to get playing time. Mm-hmm. And I've made the case that it might be better being the second guy anyway because of the way the schedule lays out. But they're both going to play. And may the better man win, I guess. And so how many games are they really going to win where you'd get an idea? And then will they each get an equal amount of time in certain parts of the schedule that feel even like, honestly, they just need to get out of this season with knowing they either have a guy or don't. My contention the whole way has been, well, what if it's Deshaun? That's not, quote, a good problem to have, because how great does he have to look for you to invest in him again? And how good is this season going to look to even give him a shot at doing that? The other part of me thinks that Deshaun might be just looking for a platform to find another way to a place. Hey, I'm done with Cleveland. It didn't work out. I want to go somewhere and I will showcase my skills enough where I can stay healthy and look good, where I could maybe get another job. Now, if Cleveland were the leading bidder at the end of this year, maybe he'd be happy to stay. But
if he plays well, that's going to be one of the more fascinating stories of next offseason.
No doubt.
One, because of what you mentioned, what are the Browns going to do? They're just going to let him walk after he played well for you? And then two, I think there would be a decent amount of interest around the league because of what Deshaun's already done in his past individually, but also what's happened around the league with some other guys that have gotten off the mat, right? Baker, Sam Darnold, some of these other guys, right, that we've seen get drafted high, get opportunities that hasn't worked out well. I think because there's some momentum with that in the NFL right now, that he would have some opportunities there. I don't think he's going to play very well. I'd be surprised, honestly, based off what we've seen from him and the injuries that he's coming off of right now. But if we're going to live in that world at the moment, it's something that you have to think about if you're the Browns, is running it back with him. But I think there's a low percentage chance that they're going to have to make that decision.
Probably.
Low percentage.
Probably low percentage.
Yeah.
The real question will be, is Shadur enough? And then, because you have all this ammunition for next year's draft, do you use it on a quarterback, or how cool would it be if you didn't have to?
Just continue to build out this roster. That would be the dream.
All right, we're going to come back. And LeBron had a demand for Cleveland, or so the rumor says. Rothman and Ison.org.
Buckeye football camp is coming, and our team of fan personalities will be there live. All the sweaty sack fun starts Thursday, August 6th. For tickets, head to Ticketmaster.com. Your home of the Buckeyes.
One, two, three.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy, warm and humid for the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Maybe a few showers and thunderstorms. Better chances likely to be off to our west. Overnight, though, better chance of thunderstorms area-wide. Those may produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early on Tuesday, then partly cloudy skies and highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Rothman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, let's get back to the rumors about LeBron that he... So, there weren't too many moves that Cleveland probably could have made that would have done this. At least I thought that on Friday. They were that close, made the ECF, blew game one, could have been a more competitive series, but this isn't a team that needs, like, rescuing. This is a team that, you know, is pretty damn good. And reportedly, if you believe it, that LeBron didn't want Donovan Mitchell on the Cavs. And it feels to me that if somehow Jaylen Brown would have joined, then that would have put it over the top. So I was reading this part. If the Cavs sign LeBron, I guess he would likely be the small forward ahead of Harden and Mitchell in the backcourt. But Brandon Scoop B. Robinson revealed that LeBron would have preferred if the Cavs kept Darius Garland instead of Harden, and if they had acquired Jaylen Brown from the Celtics by sending out Mitchell. So I guess if the Cavs still had Garland and moved Donovan in a trade for Jaylen Brown, then...
I see that vision.
And then you'd have Garland, Jaylen Brown, and Evan Mobley.
With Allen, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his... I guess LeBron's not approving of the Garland-Harden trade was, I guess, made pretty clear when Rich Paul gave his short list of teams he was considering, but...
I want to say Darius Garland, too, is a clutch client.
He is.
Okay, yeah. He's a clutch guy, so that was part of the appeal, apparently, with Tyrese Maxey in Philly, too. So, Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Sixers, is a clutch guy as well. That, when you mapped out that way for me, mm-hmm. with Garland and with Jaylen Brown, now I can understand that.
Yeah.
If this were, hey, I just want to come back to Cleveland and I want Donovan Mitchell out and I want to play with Harden and Allen and Mobley.
That wouldn't have worked.
That wouldn't have made any sense.
That wouldn't
to
have
me
made
at
any
all.
Sense.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not into this let's try to tap into LeBron's short window here at the end to get one more title, and then if it backfires, then you don't have Donovan Mitchell anymore. Like,
you still, I guess, would have had Garland and Mobley,
yeah.
So you would have had a couple of young-ish guys to build
around.
They're
all in on Mitchell, though. You saw that from the contract.
And he's all in on them, which was a thing that I know some Cleveland fans were fearful of, was the Donovan Mitchell experience. Now he's re-upped with him a couple times. So that's very encouraging. Yeah, Donovan and LeBron, I think, would have been a really good fit. I think those guys would have been able to figure it out well. LeBron would have been in a situation where you got a guy that can handle a lot of the duties with the basketball. And so that's why I think the Philly thing is very appealing to him, because there's multiple guys that can now do that for him.
I wonder if Garland was still there, Maddie, though, and Harden. I'm sorry, if Garland was still there and no Jaylen Brown.
I don't think that would have done it.
It sounds like it may have.
Like, he loved DG.
Yeah, it might have been enough. Like, I was
so you guys are saying, like, without
Jaylen Brown,
if it was Garland
was still there.
With Mitchell?
Yes.
Yes, and Mitchell. Yeah, so you'd have Harden as, like, a past first point guard instead of Garland.
I think that would have been pretty appealing, yeah. With both of them,
I think it would have been more appealing than having Harden for LeBron.
I agree. If it was Garland and Mitchell instead of Mitchell and Harden, I agree with you.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, maybe he's there. But these were moves that, I don't know, letting him GM your team at the end like this has a little bit of a risky feel to me.
They're probably like, it worked before.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but it worked before when he was younger.
That's probably what they were thinking.
But he's not that same guy.
Yeah.
And now he gets to make a race of it in Philly.
I kind of figured that's what was going on, why Harden makes his move with his contract and he hasn't signed another deal. It's just like, what is happening? Like, things are being, they're on pause. And that's usually what happens when a star player is hit free agency, that they're the first domino. Then a lot of things happen after that. But I think behind the scenes, Rich Paul, LeBron, they were talking to Kobe Altman and the crew up there saying, we kind of like it, but we don't love it right now. Can you do this? Can you do that? They probably tried. They probably did try. And then they couldn't execute what he probably wanted and felt like could get them over the hump. And so that's why he made the decision to go down to Philly.
Well, I'm not going to say we missed it, but I guess at Fanatics Fest, when he dropped the trust the process, then maybe we should have leaned more into it. But I thought it was almost too corny. Like, it can't be that. Like, you wouldn't be that bold in saying that and having it be that.
There was that breadcrumb that people were saying that we now should have followed. There was the Bob Myers appearance on Rich Paul's podcast, who was a part of the Philadelphia front office until Mike Gainsey took over, which I think that's another big part of this too for LeBron, is his relationship with Mike Gainsey, who he, you know, high school friend and all that stuff. He is now the GM of Philadelphia. So there's people that he's comfortable with. But what you mentioned, Bob Myers on the podcast, the whiteboard from Rich Paul, the Maxie relationship, like, there was some, now that you look back, it's kind of like, okay, there were breadcrumbs to follow there. But I thought when things kind of calmed down a little bit, I thought it was Cleveland and Miami.
Absolutely.
And then Philly.
That's right. And then Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, to me, that was it. He fits really well in Philly. He plays off the ball. That's great. He's second or third option. He's like, his user rate is low now. Like, it's like, he plays off the ball and he can adapt to what the team needs, especially this late in his career, because Luka and Austin Reeves, it was the same situation.
Yes, yes.
So it's really, honestly, this thing all hinges on Embiid, probably. Like, that's a former MVP, bubble wrap him.
You're playing 35 games
when he's
season.
Healthy.
Yes.
And you've got an all-NBA guard in Maxey. He's awesome.
Edgecombe
was a great rookie. So
Then they brought in the former Cav now and Dean Wade.
They got
him
for
signing
for some depth.
He'll now come off the bench as well. And so,
then Jaylen.
Jaylen is going to be the aircraft carrier, I believe, he and Maxey, because those guys are in their prime, ready to go. They can handle
two
all
NBA
of that.
Guys.
Yes, I think with Embiid, hey man, you're going to play 35-40 games because it's all about the playoffs. I don't think they can win a championship without Embiid being impactful in the postseason. I do think that. I think they can be a really good regular season team with the depth that they have. They're obviously going to be dangerous as hell to deal with in the postseason. But Embiid has to be there if they can go to the finals and take on Wemby and the Spurs or OKC, whoever it is.
All right, get out your aux cord for a second over there.
All right.
You got a calculator on that thing?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right. I want you to add this up for me.
All right, hold up, play.
And then I want you to spit out the answer.
All right, I'm ready.
Ready?
I'm ready.
28.3.
Okay.
Plus 16.
Okay.
Plus 28.7.
Wait a minute. Hold on. 28.7. Yeah. Okay.
Plus 20.9. I could have rounded these up for you.
Nine. Okay.
Plus 26.9.
26.9.
What does all that equal?
That equals 120.8.
That's the average points per game of their starting lineup when healthy. Maxey, Edgecombe in the backcourt, Jaylen Brown and LeBron at the forwards, and Embiid, the man in the middle.
This couldn't have been set up any better for Embiid and LeBron, the structure of this year's team, with the guys that are young, that can do a lot of the heavy lifting, in the regular season. You got depth, as you mentioned. They bring in KCP, a bench guy that won a championship with LeBron in L.A., won a championship with Jokic in Denver. And so they're rounding this thing out and into what's a very dangerous team on paper. But that's all it is.
It is. I mean, LeBron, Jalen, Maxey, Edgecombe, and Embiid. So now you have a very dynamic offense. Like, you have 4 3-level scorers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're efficient, which a lot of times they are, that's going to be very dangerous. The big one is what you said. Can Embiid stay healthy? He's played 60 games or more twice in 10 years.
Yeah, he's not available.
He's average. You said wrap him for 30. That's what he's averaging.
That's what I'm saying.
So if he could just hit his average, like now he's playing. I mean, these are pretty capable guys with the ball that he's ever played with. I mean, Brown, Maxey, and Edgecombe. Those guys can get their own shot anytime.
And usually what happens is LeBron usually wins the championship in year two. In the new city that he arrives in. The contract is a 1+1. So he's got the player option for year two. He hasn't said or not whether this is his last year. He did, I think, in the tweets he threw out AR, was it this is his last decision? I thought
last decision.
That was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. But the contract is set up to where he could come back if need be. And so this usually takes time for them to build. Like when you got all these different heavy lifters coming in. Like, the first 20 games are usually pretty clunky, but I think they're going to figure this out in time, and I think it's going to be them and the Knicks in a very competitive Eastern Conference this year sitting atop this thing. But they're going to have to earn that thing, man. The East is going to be good this year. Real good.
Honestly, it's a fairly fun decision because it puts a lot of pressure on him to deliver even now, even though they're not really the favorite to win it all.
Oh, see, I don't think there's really any pressure on him.
Really? Joining this team?
Yeah, because I think if they... What if they don't win it? What does that mean? Like, you know.
No, it doesn't really affect his legacy in a horribly negative way. But I think this where he could get to if they do win. Like, there's a lot of opportunity.
See, I think that I think there's more of the upside for him than there is downside now at this point.
You're right. I mean, the pressure is basically that he's LeBron and he got to make this choice and he joined maybe the best roster he could. And so that's where the pressure comes, that he got to handpick his ending in a basketball way, and the pressure to be really good and maybe win one is always going to be there. But, you know what I mean? But they're not the favorite. So
it's 42. That's all I'm saying. This is on Jalen Brown and Maxey and Embiid, the guys in their prime. Like, you know, he's going to get, you know, an old man ring.
We will come back in 2 minutes and a legendary coach dealing with some off-season stuff. Right before football, we'll tell you what that means in 2 minutes. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up, knuckleheads? You're listening to Rothman and Ice on the Fan. It's not terrible.
All right, a little off-season distraction here for Belichick. So... it's always weird to use the term general manager in college football, but Mike Lombardi is the GM for North Carolina. So he's the top dude, right-hand man to Bill Belichick. They had to put him on administrative leave, and it's effective right now. Mm. They didn't give any details. This is the second year under Belichick, and they opened their season in under 5 weeks. They actually are going overseas. They're playing TCU in Dublin. So it does say that it stems from an HR complaint. Oh, it was filed by a former UNC front office employee.
Okay.
So there's an investigation, and it's standard procedure. It's a personnel matter, and it's probably right to separate him from the program while they investigate it. But remember, he came in 24. Reunites with him. He worked under Belichick with the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
He was here. He was in Cleveland in the late 80s with him. So they've known each other for a long, long time.
He came back to Cleveland, didn't he, in 2010, somewhere in there? I think he may have. Am I remembering that correctly? Let me look that up. I swear he came back to Cleveland for maybe a little cup of coffee and a croissant. Did he? Like I got 20.
Smoking a pancake?
Yeah, I got a 2013 general manager and vice president.
So that was right before they left.
Yeah, this guy's been, man, in some very, very powerful positions, and I'm sure we'll find out more details. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but when you brought up HR, that's never really a great thing when you hear that. And so
Remember when, oh, this would have been, I don't know, about a year and a half ago when he said the Tar Heels considered themselves the 33rd NFL team?
I recognize his name and his face a lot because obviously his time in Cleveland and the stuff that you mentioned, he did a lot of hits with McAfee over the last couple of years trying to get that thing rolling.
Radio Row, you and I before.
Saw him at Radio Row before as well. And this is just another distraction for a guy in Bill Belichick that thrived and lived off non-distractions. And it, this whole experience down there in Chapel Hill, it's just been odd. Like all of it, whether it was him, his girlfriend, the involvement of his son, the rumors about whether or not, hey, this is just Bill wants to hand this over to his kid after a couple of years, and that's why he took it. And then now this, man, none of this has been clean. None of this has just been about football and X's and O's, which is what Bill has told us for decades. That's all he cares about.
And that was an awful first season.
Yeah.
Which makes you think they'd be even tighter.
Right.
Tighten up.
Exactly. And so now here you are, and you're having to deal with this.
This has nothing to do with him, by the way.
Nothing to do with him.
But I want to make that very clear.
But it's his program.
That's right.
And so that's my mind went to him and an added thing to this time down there in the ACC that just has not been well, has not gone well at all for him, on the field or off the field. None of it's been good.
We're on to 2026.
He's got to be gone.
We're on to 2027.
AR, I think he's gone after this year. I think
you said he's coming back.
And I think he's
going to. You may be right. If this ends, by the way, it would have to end sooner than later for you to be right.
Sooner than
later. He cannot do another 3 years in Chapel Hill and then jump into the NFL at 77.
Come back.
Like, I don't think that's happening. No, like, for this to work out, for that prediction to work out, it's so funny. My original prediction was he's never going to not go after Shula's record. And then he goes to North Carolina. And then he's not coming back. And you're like, no, he's coming back.
He's coming back. You mentioned the first game across the pond against TCU. Week three, they go to Clemson. The game after that for them is home against Notre Dame. So the noise is going to be probably really loud around, unless Clemson's is, they're an odd program for me right now. They're kind of tough to figure out what they're going to be on a yearly basis. Ton of eyeballs on that game against TCU. But that Notre Dame game, AR, because if Notre Dame is what they're supposed to be, and that is a true national championship contender this year, led by CJ Carr, that game could get really nasty for them, and then I just think it's on. Because then they play Miami as well on their schedule, too. I think this is it for Bill.
The weird thing for Belichick, and you never thought you'd say this, is that he's starting to get used to losing.
Mm.
The guy hasn't had a winning season in years.
Mm-hmm.
His last winning season was with the Patriots in 2018, like when they won the Super Bowl. Like, he's sub 500 since then. So that's five in the NFL and one with North Carolina. Now, North Carolina was a semi-rebuild or whatever it was, and it's his job to kind of get them going. But I don't know. I mean, he's the greatest coach, people believe, that's ever stalked a sideline. And now you're in the era of where you can buy a roster.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quicker to rebuild anywhere if you've got the finances and you can lure the best players or the key ones. But yeah, I mean, you may be right. This may be. Does he have a 5-year? I think he has a 5-year deal, 5-year plan.
I wonder what the buyout is looking like, because I think this is it in 2026. I think this is going to be an average to bad year for them. His boy now is gone in Lombardi.
He may be gone. This may be a temporary thing.
Based off what's out there right now, I'm going to be a little surprised if he's back.
Well, if they investigate it, there's no evidence.
Maybe so. Yeah. But regardless of Lombardi, because I don't think that's going to keep him in Chapel Hill, I think this is it. They're going to win, what, probably 6 games this year?
I think that would be a lot.
Yeah.
Zeke, what's their over-under?
4.5.
Yeah.
He's on a 5-year, $50 million deal.
You got buyout information?
So the first 3 years are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is year 3? This is year 3.
This is year 2.
2.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, if they were going to fire him at any point before December of next year, not this year,
next year,
3 years after they initially hired him, they'd owe him everything he was set to be paid. So I guess it's north of $20 million. So anything above 17 would make Belichick's buyout one of the 5 highest in college football history.
And I don't think,
if he takes another job,
mm-hmm.
He would actually owe North Carolina a mill.
Collegiate job or NFL job?
I just says another job.
I don't think that North Carolina will part ways with Bill Belichick. I think it has to be the other way around. I think he has to leave them first. Because if the number Zeke told us, it's 4.5. Let's say they go under that and they win 3-4 games, whatever it may be. I don't think they're going to fire him, but I think you brought up something that he's going to be sick of, and that's losing. I don't think he's going to say, you know what? Let's run it back again. I think he'd be like, I'm going to go do TV for a year, whatever for a year, and then I'm going to wait and hope that I can get an opportunity back in the NFL. I think this is it in 2026.
I haven't watched a lot of their games, and by a lot, I mean none. And they haven't even been competitive, right?
No, you're not missing anything.
Like against power conference opponents, they're getting smoked.
Yeah.
And so this tells you that the coach, as good as he is, he hasn't forgotten how to coach. Maybe there's a different focus, but you need the horses. They all need them. And in this violent physical game, you need him even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a struggle.
And it's interesting to me because you look at the landscape of the sport and you brought up Indiana and where they are. We've talked about Vandy a lot and where they are and these two programs that aren't known for football that have now said they've arrived. I think North Carolina actually has a chance to be that team. I don't know the inner workings of their money and all of that, but I just think with him as the face, the Jordan stuff attached to it, like I wouldn't be shocked if he does figure it out, and we're talking about them in the mix, but I don't think he has a desire to wait around for them to figure all this stuff out. I think he wants to hot pocket this thing and heat it up as quickly as you can, and there's a chance you can do that in college football right now. I don't feel like the team that they had last year, that there was enough momentum for them to find that groove the way that Cignetti did in year two at Indiana. I don't think they're close to that.
When they hired him, they got an injection of excitement. Season tickets were up, donations were up, and money poured into them. And so I don't know what recruits he's getting, but think about what playing for an NFL coaching legend might be like if you were a high school kid.
Is he the type of coaching legend you want to play for?
Well,
based off his history. That's the other thing that I would think of.
Probably.
You know, for some of those kids, they're not going to care. Because to your point, it's Bill Belichick. Yes, I'm going to play for him. Some guys might be, the whole no days off thing may be a little bit of a turnoff. You asked about recruiting. Their 26 class was third in the ACC behind Miami and Florida State. So pretty good. They had 0 5 stars, but they did have 12 4 stars. So that's not nothing.
It's enough to be competitive.
Yeah, in that conference, you would think so.
All right, that's his problem to deal with, and now he goes without his GM for a little while. We'll come back. We'll tell the truth. Rothman and Ice
today.
Comet Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore.
Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, Zeke, take us home.
All right, fellas. The Big Ten preseason.
By the way, I love the way you say that.
Fellers.
I mentioned to say that to you last week. I love when you drop a fellers.
People always comment on that. I don't know why that's a newer thing for me. I've only been doing that for the past couple of years. I don't know how I got that.
So it was fellas, and then it transformed into fellers, or it's always been fellers?
I think fellers just like kind of crept into my vocabulary like 3 years ago.
Is that a combination of brothers and fellows in one?
I think it is.
Is that okay? Okay. All right. Hey, look.
And now it's stuck, and I can't get rid of it. I don't even think when I do it. And I don't know when I got that.
I like it. I'm here for it. Keep rolling with it.
All right, the preseason All-Big Ten team from The Athletic came out today. A couple Buckeyes listed. Julian Sain, first team at quarterback. Bo Jackson, first team at running back. Also first-teamers, Peyton Pierce at linebacker. Jalen McClain at safety. And, of course, Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver. On Twitter, two Buckeyes on this list are getting a ton of question marks. Those being Julian Sain and more so Bo Jackson. People thinking are not deserving of being first team. Of course, for Julian, a lot of comments for Dante Moore. But for Bo Jackson, who finished last year as a second teamer, all Big Ten, has been getting a lot of hate and a lot of clips online saying he doesn't have the breakaway speed that a first team running back should have.
Well, that's different than saying he doesn't have it. I mean, the guy was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. Now, behind an offensive line that was okay. Now, they had the threat of the pass so much that, okay, I want to be realistic here. When you had Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sain, you got to respect the pass, obviously.
You better.
So that helps. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to be really good. I think he can be. I don't think he hit the hole as well as he should have last year. I also don't think they blocked it very well last year. So two things can be true at the same time. There was some hesitancy against better defenses. Guess what? He wasn't alone. He really wasn't.
There's no doubt.
They did not build the perfect beast going into their postseason. And it showed. However, look how close they were. And I know it isn't more MVU, Moral Victory University. It's not, it never will be, nor should it be. But it's, I wonder why he's being questioned so much. He's a young guy, he burst on the scene. I'm not really sure where, maybe, is it as stupid as if he's going to have that name, he better be all world? Like, what is it?
If people are poking at the breakaway speed, now fine, whatever. Like, we know what he's capable of. And he's only going to get better going into his second year as the guy. Right? You're talking about a freshman running back last season, to your point, that probably hadn't seen certain things, right? Game speed. This guy's this big, this strong.
He's fast.
Whatever it may be,
and he's
right?
He's not small.
That's what I'm saying. It's just one comment that Zeke highlighted. And it's that's why I said it doesn't matter because we know how capable he is. However, some of the things that you touched on have to come together this year for them to execute offensively the way that they're going to want to. It's the offensive line coming back with guys now that have experience but have a chance to really level up. And it's Bo and the rest of the guys, right? How healthy are they going to be? That was the thing coming out of spring. Hopefully, they're going to be ready to rock and roll, but they got to see it. They got to have their timing down, and I think they will this season. But yeah, Bo, he's a guy that we could all see that when he does figure it out, we're going to be talking about a all Big Ten, all American type of back, and I think he's going to figure it out fairly quickly this year.
Do you think that the reports that came out earlier this summer about him wanting more NIL money that he did end up pushing away and saying those aren't true, do you think that's put more pressure on him going into this season, or do you think Buckeye fans will just let that go?
It's going to hit different for everybody, right? Like, I'm not personally going to be thinking about that. Like, I'm just excited to see where his game is. How much stronger is he? How much faster is he? Like, all of those things. Yeah, I'm not going to give any mental space to that.
They got a good running back room.
Yeah.
He's going to get pushed. If it's by committee, great. Like, it's, they're going to be just fine. The offensive line isn't as good as people think it could be this year. Experience, cohesiveness, like, it should be really good. And you're adding a five-star freshman to the receiving room. Like, you have Jeremiah. You have Arthur Smith running it. Tight ends will be involved.
Yeah.
Like, if the running game levels up this year,
that's gonna be
it's a
huge
damn
speed.
Good thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are afraid of, oh, it's going to be boring. He's not. Listen, the guy knows what he has. But if the running game levels up, think about how scary it could get.
I agree. And I think it's going to be so big for the run game, especially early, to be ready to rock and roll. Because me personally, I don't really know outside of Jeremiah what the pass catchers are going to be bringing to the field. Mm-hmm. I know they're talented, but I don't know what it looks like at this level just yet. And so if the run game can be ready to go right out of the gate, when maybe the aerial attack isn't where it's going to be down the road, I think that's what that can really benefit them, especially when you're taking a unit on the road week two to Austin.
Incredibly important based on what Texas has added into that interior, that D-line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be, I mean, they're massive. So,
you gotta throw
pack
some
a lunch, man.
Yeah.
Guys in their upper 300s, just run pluggers. So,
can't wait for that game.
It's massive.
Can't wait.
Next one, you're heading to the NFL. There's more traction coming for what started as a rumor that I didn't really take seriously, but now it's feeling more and more real. former Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald over the course of the weekend is now going through a very strict, regimented process to decide whether he wants to unretire this season. That's said by head coach of the Rams, Sean McVay. He also said, and if Donald does decide he wants to play, McVay quoted, "We are going to try to be able to make that happen this season." Does it feel more and more likely like Aaron's coming back?
Yeah, it's done. Like, I'm going to be shocked if he doesn't come back at this point. Is he going to do the whole training camp grind that's going to start this week? Maybe not, but I do think come week one, when that defense comes on the field for the first time, it'll be he and Myles Garrett on the defensive line together.
He could wait. Could do a midseason thing.
Hop on a moving
if
train.
If he's not ready, if his body or if he feels like he wants to manage this thing and load management. Your initial question, I think the answer to this is it would be now an upset if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Maddie on that. So if he comes back, the NFL's got to be ready. He hasn't played in a couple of years, but a player of his caliber, that changes things. And here's the other thing. The Rams are really good, and if they're leaving the door open for him, and this isn't just some PR thing, then you know they think that he could be a difference maker still.
It's just too much smoke around it at this point. I think he's in a situation where maybe early on you limit his at-bats, then mid-season, back into the year, he's going to be full tilt, and that's going to be a terrifying unit to deal with. I went and looked last week because I just saw the story was still buzzing. When his last year in 2023, he was still top 25 in pressures. And so it was a few years ago now, but I think you combine what I think he is with Miles and the rest of those dudes, and that's
he may have the perfect scenario, which is he doesn't have to be relied upon.
Right.
That he could just have the, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. He could have that this year.
No doubt. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Don't move.
Zeke, great job, my brother. And we're happy to have you along, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Rothman and Ice in the